Welcome to another Diary of a Mediocre Golfer. It's Paul O'Mahony in his car, and on this occasion I'm not yet driving to a golf course, but later on this morning I will be. I'll be driving down to Fota Island Golf Course in Cork in Ireland. And today I want to talk unusually about the development of an idea. And it's not about the actual playing of golf, but it's about an idea which has knocked the socks off me in terms of enthusiasm for golf. I'm a bit hesitant because I'm not quite sure how to introduce it to you, but it all concerns a young man in the United States of America who at the moment I suspect is asleep because of the time difference. He's Dan McLaughlin, and he's known on the internet as the Dan Plan, and he's doing something which really caught my fancy some not all that long ago. Basically, he's trying to become a professional golfer. He's from a standing start of not having played golf before, he's wanting to become a professional golfer, and he's wanting to become the kind of professional golfer that would be able to play on the tour. Now, I have spoken about him before in these diaries, but today is a very, very special day because ever since I heard about Dan McLaughlin, and I have to credit a man called Aidan Enright, who's the leader of a business called Smarter Egg here in Ireland. I have to credit Aidan for being the person who sent me the link. I opened a link and I found out that Dan McLaughlin is regularly producing reports on his progress towards being a professional golfer, and he does it on his website. He does it on videos, short videos that he puts up every week, and he does it on Facebook, and he does it on Twitter, and he gets interviewed on golf magazines. The name of the magazines I can't tell you off the top of my head, but without looking up my notes. But the bottom line is that here is a young man, from my perspective, doing something that is incredibly interesting. You would say almost foolhardy. He's given up his job, his normal sources of income, and he's investing, I don't know, 5-6 years of his life in the pursuit of a dream. And he isn't just pursuing the dream, because that would be straightforward enough, but he's also linking up in the pursuit of his dream with a university, a research institute, a university professor who is studying the 10,000 hours hypothesis, I'll call it, or theory. And there must be, and I won't pretend to be familiar with it, a body of academic literature by now, or there will be certainly coming through a body of academic research all about tests that have been done to see if it's true that with 10,000 hours deliberate practice, somebody can actually become great at something. And the thing about Dan is that he's not just an enthusiastic golfer, but he's realized the importance of linking his, or the value of linking his activity with a proper academic, research-based, evidence-based, activity. Which, of course, raises the issue of the Dan Plan effort to become a professional golfer out of the micro level of where it is absolutely interesting to the kind of macro level where it links with other activities of a different kind which are being tested. So at this moment in time, for example, it's entirely possible that people are writing research papers about how many hours of practice a brain surgeon has to have in order to become good at, really, really good at operating on brains. And I suppose all that, and that may be a bad example. Forgive me if you think it is a bad example, because I could probably find you a better example. But so Dan is linked up with the academic side, and that's terrific. But he's done even more than that, you see. He's actually linked up with a golf professional. He isn't just an enthusiastic amateur who's going to fumble his way towards towards failure. He's actually taking this so seriously that he has engaged a golf professional. Now, again, I have to tell you that I can't speak for the credentials of his golf professional yet. Although, as this story unfolds, I will in the future. But the point about this is that a golf professional, a proper golf professional, using all the up-to-date, cutting-edge tools that golf professionals use to help people to develop their swing, and by that I include video analysis, and I include sticking kind of something like electrodes onto you and measuring your heartbeat and measuring the pace at which you do things and measuring your muscles and all that. We're now going through the tunnel under the River Lee. But Dan is linking his golf with the most modern coaching methods in golf. And the craziest thing of all is that he began his deliberate practice with putting. Now most people I know, you know, when they think of going to a golf pro, they go to the pro and they say, right, I'd like to book a lesson. And the pro says, well, what do you want to practice? And almost all of them, as far as I know, say, well, I want to, we go up to the driving range and you see me hit a few shots and all that. And, you know, although the pro is probably not that keen that they use their driver, I just have the feeling that most people just want to get up on the driving range with the pro and hit full shots. In other words, they do not want to do what Dan does. Dan actually went off and spent the best part of 2 years doing nothing but putting. Now, I'm sure that's a bit of an exaggeration. I'm sure he did chipping as well. But it was almost his starting point in relation to using a golf professional approach and becoming good at golf was to almost become a pitch and putt player. Or maybe a putt and pitch player. But anyway, the key point about this is that Dan is different. Dan is different. Dan is not, he's slightly counterintuitive, but he's also doing something that, you know, all golfers, I reckon, dream. He's actually pursuing the dream of becoming a pro. Now, I did it when I was about 13 and 14. I imagined myself playing alongside Peter Alice and playing alongside Arnie and you know, playing alongside Jack Nicklaus and Peter Thompson. I go back a long way. But basically the point about it is that Dan is pursuing this in a very serious way. And the wonderful thing I thought about was, you know, hey, can we get him over to Ireland? So today I go to move things on a step to Fota Island Golf Club, our Fota Island Resort. Now, where they're already knowledgeable about Dan, they have already picked up the thread and I've helped them to do that, to find out what Dan is about. But they've made running to themselves, and they're very keen. They say that they're very keen to bring Dan across to Ireland. And I've done a lot of work to think about how we could do this and how we could do it in a way that would make it work. And so I've got to go down this morning and say to Fota, look, you're going to have to come up with the money to fly Dan over, right? That's important, and he has to have some pocket money. So there's a cost there. Are you willing to invest that? Now, there's obviously got to be a return for the resort, but there is a bottom line. Can they actually afford to invest in flying him over? And that's not the end of the story, because in addition to flying him over, and you know, the Fota can put him up, we'll say they have all the facilities and they can feed him. That won't cost a lot of money to do, but what it'll be a high value, but it won't cost the hotel resort anything much to do. But somebody will have to pay the airfare, and we've saved money by thinking that, well, we don't need to bring Dan's videographer or his video production crew and his director with him. We could save the cost of transatlantic fares for them. But by hiring a local company, so we've got a local company on board. And I say a local company, but it's a local company that has already achieved magnificent things. It's already made films for Irish television, RTE, and it's made corporate videos, and it's a company called AV3 Productions in Cork. Michael Lynch is the boss of that company, and he's on board. And I've had extensive meetings with Michael Lynch about this issue, and we've worked out that okay, the minimum level of video that'll have to be done is a 2-minute one for Dan for his blog. Without that, Dan wouldn't come. But of course, Fota Island will want a video specially for themselves, you know. Dan using the practice, using the facilities, Dan doing this, Dan doing that. Because, I mean, here's a
minor celebrity who could actually go viral any minute, if you like. You know, Dan McLaughlin could become very well known very easily, very quickly, almost by accident. All that would happen is somebody'd have to put him on television talking to Rory McIlroy about the Irish Open. And the next thing is you have Dan McLaughlin is known around the world and he's got Irish roots. But that's just a small aside, just the way things work. But anyway, I've got to go to this meeting at which I ask Fota, look, in addition to it, do you have the resources? Do you have the money to pay for a short video for Dan and a short one for yourself? And of course, I know, and we'll talk about it, that that's the minimum entry level, if you like, for this. But so much more could be done. There could be much more efficient use of video team's time to shoot a more substantial piece. And okay, there's time and energy taken to direct this project, and that'll have to be factored in as well. So today, we'll either, within about 3 hours, I'll know whether this is just a good idea, which it got us all excited for a while and was very pleasant to entertain, or whether it really is going to be a runner, whether Dan McLaughlin is actually going to come, base himself at Fota. And from there, perhaps we can build layers and layers of additional value on top of Dan just coming to Fota. Because he doesn't just have to come to Fota, he could come to Ireland and he could go to other golf courses too. But I'll just keep this very tight at the moment. But just to let you know that this may not only be about Dan McLaughlin coming to Fota. So that's it. This is a diary of a mediocre golfer who, you know, isn't hitting a golf ball today, but he's certainly facing into a drive which is going to go either onto the fairway, thereby giving an easy shot into the green, or it's going to land in the rough, that's not impossible to play out of, or it could land in a bunker, that would be trickier to play out of, but not impossible, or else he could drive out of bounds. And if he drives out of bounds, well, that's really knocked it right back. So I don't know today whether the drive is going to go, you know, fairway or out of bounds. And that's the excitement, really, of it. That is it. That's an audio about what's going to happen this morning. And, of course, you know, I'm hoping that the ball lands spang in the middle of the fairway, because I find it easier to get on the green hitting from the fairway than from the rough, and it's certainly good for morale not to go out of bounds. Okay, look, it's Paul O'Mahony saying thanks a million for listening to this. Bye-bye.